This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. And I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. 2024 NFL Draft Week is here. And here at Saturday to Sunday, we continue to cover it wire to wire. If you have missed either of the two previous episodes, please go back and check them out. Matt Wallman, as always, giving us tons of takes, dropping knowledge on so many of these prospects. And then the last episode, David Syvertson of Our Lads coming on, talking about the wide receivers and tight ends in great depth. But here we are, the week of the NFL draft. I'm going to have three episodes for you leading up to the NFL draft, and then wire-to-wire coverage each day of the NFL draft, recap show every single night, Dynasty Rookie Ranking show dropping by sometime Sunday night or Monday morning. But to set the stage, final ranking show, which we're doing tonight. Next, tomorrow, a My Guys episode, offense and defense. And then third, for before the NFL draft, projecting the NFL draft, where I kind of talk about who I think is going to come off the board in round one, who I think is going to come off the board in the first three rounds, and that's coming directly off of the 2024 Saturday to Sunday Premium Draft Projections Notebook, which did launch last week. So now all three notebooks are immediately available if you purchase them. Remember, it is $9.99. You get access to all three notebooks. You get the scouting notebook, which almost 100 detailed player profiles, strengths, developmental areas, functional areas, how they win, NFL role, NFL scheme fit, fantasy spin. Then you get the rankings notebook, which has all our rankings and tiers for on our film analysis for the 2024 offensive guys. Also has our Devy rankings. After the draft, it'll have our immediate Dynasty rookie rankings. And then also a couple weeks after the draft, it'll have updated full dynasty positional rankings. So if you're looking to do any startup drafts or just kind of compare the rookies to other guys in the league, that will be updated as well. And then the recently launched draft projections notebook, the thing that I work on more hours than I care to even discuss, but it's got almost 400 players in it, snapshot of how they win, some developmental areas, their measurements, if they had combine testing numbers, projecting how I expect them to come off the board based on everything I'm hearing, reading, listening, watching, tabs for every position, offense and defense, and then a projected top 32 board, a projected top 100 board, which is rounds one through three, and then a projected all 257 picks in the NFL draft. Our track record on those big board tabs has been fantastic. For people who don't know or who are new to the listeners, last year we predicted 27 of 31 round one prospects for 87%. We predicted 86 of the 102 prospects to come off the board in the first three rounds, which was 84%. And then we also predicted 217 of the 259 prospects to come off the board in rounds one through seven. So 87% hit rate in round one, 84% hit rate in rounds one through three, and an 84% hit rate in rounds one through seven. We have been anywhere between 80 and like 87% on those numbers since we created the draft projections notebook. It is as good as a resource out there for draft weekend to kind of see what the consensus. I don't take a consensus from just anybody. The information that I gather is from the people that I think are legitimately the best in the industry in terms of predicting the draft, and I morph them together, create these projections, and it has had tremendous success from everything I'm reading, listening, and hearing of the right people. I think that's where you got to keep in mind. You got to be listening to the right people. You got to know who to be listening to, you know, whether it's beat writers, whether it's national guys, in terms of gathering this information, who we think come off the board in the first round, first three rounds, and all seven rounds of the NFL draft. So, with that out of the way, go over to SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there. For $9.99, you get access to all three notebooks. If you've been a longtime listener of us, I'm kind of urging you a little bit, guys. please consider purchasing the notebooks if you have not purchased them in the past. It's $9.99. It's literally the cup of like a cup of coffee and a donut or a sandwich in the morning. It goes a long, long way of helping us to continue to do what we do here. We understand there are so many great resources out there, some free, some paid. But everything that we get is just to keep us going here, to pay for the server fees, the subscription fees that we need. Everything that we get from the sale of premium notebooks is just to keep everything away from a paywall in terms of the podcast, in terms of any of the coverage we provide, and this to continue to do what we do here. So if you've been a longtime listener and never purchased it, please, if you can, consider purchasing it and helping us out tremendously. If you purchased it in the past but haven't purchased it this year, consider purchasing it again. It does go a really long way in terms of us continuing to do what we do here, especially if you enjoyed the content. So if you can't do that, please, wherever you listen to the podcast, rate, review, subscribe. That helps us out as well. So let's get into it. Final rankings. We've been talking rankings of these guys since August. And we did ranking shows in August, and we've updated rankings, and we've talked about tiers and ranked them within tiers. But there's been a little tweaks here or there since I did my tier shows. And we're just going to kind of group it together. It's going to be a shorter episode. Not going to go into a lot of insight in terms of strengths and weaknesses of the prospects. You have tons of episodes. Go back and listen to the Tier Buster episodes. That's really where I talked about, you know, I did a tier episode for each position where I really dug into the prospects more, talked about their strengths, some areas I want to see improvement on, stuff like that. So this is, we're going to go through the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends today. Just kind of where my final rankings lie going in to the 2024 NFL draft. So let's start right at the quarterback position first. Here are my rankings, and then I'll talk a little bit about them. Number one is Caleb Williams out of USC. Number two is Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Number three is Drake May out of UNC. Number four is J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. Number five is Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. Number six is Bo Nix out of Oregon. Number seven is Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina. Number eight is Jordan Travis out of Florida State. Number nine is Joe Milton out of Tennessee. Number 10 is Michael Pratt out of Tulane. Number 11 is Devin Leary out of Kentucky. Number 12 is Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame. And number 13 is Caden Slovis out of BYU. Not any changes since I did my tier episode. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, I continue to struggle with them. I really is more of a 2A, 2B for me. But I don't really love doing the whole 2A, 2B thing. So Jaden Daniels is number two. Drake May is number three. They are very interchangeable. I think Drake May's ceiling is higher than Jaden Daniels, but I think his floor is a little bit lower because I don't see a way that Jaden Daniels is not an effective starter at the next level with his athleticism paired with his passing pedigree. Obviously, the ceiling is a Lamar Jackson-type player, but even if... But if that's the ceiling, I think his floor could at least be what Justin Fields offered Chicago. I know they're moving on from him, and Justin Fields doesn't have an ideal landing spot right now long term. We'll see what happens in Pittsburgh this year. Not even going to start. But I do think there's a little bit safer floor for Jaden Daniels. But I do think the ceiling for Drake May is higher. I still look at him as a Justin Herbert-like prospect that if he can clean up some of the ball placement issues, which I think are a lot from the mechanical stuff, and the footwork, I think he could be a high-end quarterback on that Justin Herbert-like level. I think he was asked to do a lot at UNC, maybe fell into some bad habits. I think with the right coaching, right offense, right scheme, he could still be a very high-end quarterback, which is why I have both of those guys, you know, higher than J.J. McCarthy. And I actually dropped J.J. McCarthy down to the next tier. I have J.J. McCarthy now back in my tier with Michael Penix and Bo Nix because as I consider the option that the Giants are very heavily interested in J.J. McCarthy, I've continued to watch more film, watch more film, watch more film. And there are things to like about J.J. McCarthy. He's athletic. He can move around a little bit. He's got some really impressive throws when he's on the move. He's really good at, you know, hitting them on the crossers and the slants. But I still have question marks about J.J. McCarthy. I still think his ceiling is Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, more physically gifted Brock Purdy. But I still think that's where his ceiling is. I struggle putting him in that in the top five, top six, top 10 of the NFL draft because I want to, for myself personally, I would reserve those picks for quarterbacks of guys that I think had top five, top seven, top eight upside in the entire NFL. I don't see that from J.J. McCarthy. I could see it from Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May if they hit that ceiling. I just struggle with J.J. McCarthy in terms of the ceiling. I think he's probably going to be a very good starter at the next level. He's very young. There's things to like about his game, but I never watched him in Michigan and came away thinking that guy is a guy who's going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL that can battle out, you know, Patrick Mahomes in, you know, in January or in February. I don't come across that. He wasn't asked to do a lot down nine. Can you go out there and throw the ball 20 times in the fourth quarter to get your team back in the game? We didn't see it. We didn't see it enough. We didn't see enough consistency to know if he can do that. He had a great offensive line, great run game, you know, pass catchers, great defense, great coach. Like, there's a lot of things in his favor. So maybe he can, and maybe I'll look foolish of thinking his ceiling is that Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy level. I want to shoot for higher than that, which is why I think he belongs more of Michael Pattinson, Bo Nix, who I think could become functional starters. And maybe J.J. McCarthy's ceiling is a little higher, a little younger, but I think I put him more in that boat than I do the Caleb Williams, Jane Daniels, and Drake May. Spencer Rattler's a little bit of a wild card, especially, you know, considering once upon a time he was thought of as maybe a first overall pick in the draft. So he's an interesting guy on round three. If I'm talking day three, I'll take the gamble on Joe Milton's upside, see if he can harness it and develop it. Let's take this at a running back position, share my rankings at the running back position. Number one is Trey Benson out of Florida State. Number two is Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. Number three is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Number four is Blake Corum out of Michigan. Number five is Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. Number six is Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue. Number seven is Will Shipley out of Clemson. Number eight is Ray Davis out of Kentucky. Number nine is Isaac Arendo out of Louisville. Number 10 is Audric Esteme out of Notre Dame. Number 11 is Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Number 12 is Bucky Irvin out of Oregon. Number 13 is Rashid Ali out of Marshall. Number 14 is Dylan Lobb out of New Hampshire. Number 15 is Blake Watson out of Memphis. Number 16 is Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. Number 17 is Cody Schrader out of Missouri. Followed up at number 18 with Kamani Vidal out of Troy. Number 19, Jason McClellan out of Alabama. And then I'll stop there. Number 20, Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Mississippi. Guys, after that, just some more names. Keldon Milton, Jaden Sheridan out of Monmouth, Carson Steele out of UCLA, Mayan Williams out of Ohio State, Aiden Robbins out of BYU, and John Emery out of LSU. So some things about my running back rankings. A little bit's changed here or there, but not too much since the Tier Buster show. I continue to have Trey Benson as my number one guy. I think him and Jonathan Brooks are my two guys that I think I'd be comfortable taking in the second round. I think the rest of the next group of guys are more like round three guys before we get to the day three guys. I do think Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks with Jalen Wright are probably have the highest ceiling in terms of the three prospects. I think they probably have the best chance to be three down players at the next level and impact the game in terms of a runner and a receiver. I do prefer Benson slightly to Brooks. That's not the torn ACL thing. It's just the contact balance, the ability to make people miss in short spaces. I think I prefer Trey Benson in that regard, and I think he plays a little bit more up to his size than Jonathan Brooks does. But I think Jonathan Brooks is a very good back, doesn't have a lot of wear and tear. I think there's some inconsistent vision and patience, but I think that's as natural as a guy who didn't play a lot prior to this year, especially with Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson there. He was playing behind those guys. In that next wave of guys, I do prefer Jalen Wright to Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd's got some ball security issues. I think Jalen Wright's a little bit more explosive, but I do like Marshawn Lloyd a lot as well. Blake Corum, I think, is rock solid. You know, I've comped him to Doug Martin. I've seen people say Ray Rice. I think that's the type of player we're talking about. Blake Corum, not an explosive guy, not a great pass catcher, but really great vision. You know, guy's just going to keep the chains moving, be a very functional, very solid, you know, starting running back at the next level. When we get to that next wave, guys, I'm going to continue to harp on Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue. Versatile player who I think is deployment and usage will be very much like an Alvin Kamara, early career Alvin Kamara. On a lesser scale, Antonio Gibson. But I like the explosiveness there. Some inconsistent vision, but I think that can still develop with more time. I'm a Will Shipley guy. I think the Clemson being down the last couple of years really hurt his stock a little bit in terms of the public conception. But I think a guy, he's another guy who could impact the game in a variety of ways. A really good receiving back, but I think could also handle the workload as a rusher in that 10 to 12 type of carries a week as well. I'm higher on Isaac Arendo. You know, most people don't have Arendo ahead of Audric Esteme and Braylon Allen. I'm intrigued with the measurables and the athletic testing of Isaac Arendo, and I think he put on some good tape this year as well. A guy that size who can run the speed he has. Garendo's a guy who really intrigues me. I've continued to harp on Braylon Allen. I struggle with him. I'll see what kind of draft capital he has. I think he's a guy who builds up some speed, yeah. Doesn't always play up to his size in terms of the physicality and stuff like that, where you would like to see a guy at 230 just barreling people over in college. So we'll see, you know, if he's not doing that in college, it's hard to envision it as a consistent part of his game at the NFL. But we'll see. Once upon a time, very young prospect, dominated college football his first couple of years. This year, battled a little injury, drastic shift in the Wisconsin offense. I think hindered his numbers a little bit this year, but I still think he's more of a round four guy. Same thing with Bucky Irving. I think Bucky Irving's got to take the path of like a Kyren Williams, kind of got to get in the perfect landing spot and outplay, you know, the pre-draft process a little bit that hasn't been too kind, but I still think in terms of his receiving capabilities, being quicker than fast, I think that could help out Bucky Irving. The next wave of guys, I still like Rasheen Ali a lot. Three down skill set, really good receiver. Dylan Lobb, you know, the comparison to Danny Wood had been out there all pre-draft process. And they're a fitting comp. So, you know, I could see that really dynamite pass catcher out of backfield. I'm intrigued by guys that have special skill sets. So a guy like Rasheen Ali, a guy like Dylan Lobb, those guys intrigue me more than the Isaiah Davises or the Cody Schraders or the Kamani Vidals, even though Kamani Vidal, great pass protector, one of the best pass protectors in the class. But I like the guys that I think, if you're talking about guys on round five, round six, round seven, I kind of want them to have a skill, like a calling card. And that's why guys like Ali and Dylan Lobb intrigue me. And even a guy like Blake Watson, who I think has got a pretty down skill set, intrigues me a little bit more than more well-known names like Schrader and Isaiah Davis or Jace McClellan or Kendall Milton. So that's kind of the guys that round out my top 20 in that mid, like, teen, like 13 to 15 range. I'm intrigued by those guys for sure. Let's take this over to the wide receivers. Obviously, a stacked wide receiver class. Why don't we do this in groups? Because there's so many guys I could talk about. So let's talk about my top 10 for a little bit. Number one is Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Number two is Malik Nabers out of LSU. Number three is Romo Odunze out of Washington. Number four is Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Number five is A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Number six is Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Number seven is Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Number eight is Ricky Purcell out of Florida. Number nine is Keon Coleman out of Florida State. And number 10 is Troy Franklin out of Oregon. I don't think there's a lot of surprises in that top 10. I think probably the biggest surprise is me still having Keon Coleman in there when many people are down on him. Keon Coleman is one of those guys we've talked a lot about. I think people have a little bit of, you know, a blind spot when it comes to Keon Coleman. They want to blindly compare him to a Quentin Johnston or an Akeel Harry who failed. But I think Keon Coleman's play speed is way better than those two guys. I think his ball skills are better than those two guys. I think his contested catch ability and his ability to make acrobatic catches are better than those two guys. I think he's much more T. Higgins or Mike Williams than I do, you know, N'Keal Harry or Quentin Johnston. So I think Keon Coleman being in my top 10, and to be honest with you, he could even be as high as seven, I think, or six. I think that's his upside there, but it's a very close-knit group. Very hard to rank Nabers and Odunze. That's kind of like I said about the quarterback with Daniels and May being a 2A, 2B. Kind of the same thing for wide receivers. But again, I don't love doing the 2A, 2B and then dropping the four. So I put Nabers at two. I put Odunze at three. For me, it's a ceiling thing for this. I think Nabers' ceiling is a little bit higher. I think Odunze's floor is higher. But I think Nabers' ceiling is higher. But I think both of these guys, true alpha wide receivers, whether you want to say Nabers reminds people of Odell or, you know, Antonio Brown, I think that's warranted. If you want to say Romo Odunze, you know, brings back memories of Larry Fitzgerald or Devontae Adams, I think that is warranted. So we're talking about those guys that most years would be the number one wide receiver in a draft class, and now they're both not even number one this year, or number two and number three because of how special of a prospect Marvin Harrison is. I do think it is a very significant drop-off in terms of tiers. After that, I like Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell's game, but they're a little bit more raw, a little bit more unrefined, development needed. They could develop into number ones, but they could also just be number twos. But there's a lot of refinement still for both of those guys. You know, Brian Thomas was a late bloomer this year, really burst onto the scene. Same thing with A.D. Mitchell. Andy Mitchell, definitely some route refinement and stuff that's got to be corrected. Doesn't always play up to that time speed, but a lot of upside to those guys. But I think the floor is a lot lower, you know, and that's why for me, they're a significant tier behind, you know, Harris, Neighbors, and Odunze. I think in that same tier with Thomas and Mitchell, you could put Xavier Worthy. He's got that calling card. Obviously, the size and the frame is a little bit of a concern. But we've seen guys like Tank Dell burst onto the scene last year. We've seen other small guys have a major impact. I think the game is changing. So I think Xavier Worthy is not just a burner. He can run routes. I think he's very similar to Hollywood Brown. That's been my comp for him since last summer. So I think he can bring a lot to an offense. In terms of the next rest of my top 10, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Purcell, I think people are going to pigeonhole them to be slot onlys, but they're really not. Purcell could definitely be a guy that can play on the outside. He's got some Chris Olave to his game. I think Ladd McConkey's got inside-outside versatility. I think they're both probably at their best inside in the slot, but they are not guys that are just chain-moving slot guys. These are big play guys with explosiveness to their game. Troy Franklin, while he's got the frame of a slot guy, the body, you know, the sides can, screams outside. He's another vertical component. He can play inside or outside. Those are my top 10. If we take this through 11 through 20, 11 is Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. 12 is Roman Wilson out of Michigan. 13 is Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. 14 is Jalen Polk out of Washington. 15 is Devontae Walker out of UNC. 16 is Anais Smith out of Texas A&M. 17 is Malik Washington out of Virginia. 18 is Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. 19 is Javon Baker out of UCF. And 20 is Jalen McMillan out of Washington. Things that stand out there, Corley and Roman Wilson, that slot guys, you know, Corley much more the play strength physicality after the catch guy. Roman Wilson much more the route runner type, but both add explosiveness. Xavier Leggett, I think, could go much higher than this. He's got a chance to be a surprise first rounder. Monster final season there at South Carolina, burst onto the scene, size, physicality, straight line athleticism, a lot to like about Xavier Leggett. Jalen Polk, maybe never going to be a true number one, but I think he could be a rock solid number two guy, great body control and ball skills. Devontae Walker, a lot of upside, a lot of ceiling, but a lot of refinement. So I talked about refinement either for Brian Thomas and Andy Mitchell. That's the round one guys like that. I think Devontae Walker is the day two guy, probably now in round three because of how strong this draft class is. But he still has got that straight line speed. He's got the size. He's got the ball skills. But a lot of refinement needed to his game. And then I really like Anais Smith. We talked about him with Matt Wallman. He's one of my favorites in this class. I think he could run routes. But I also think he could be a versatile, dynamic offensive weapon. His after-the-catch stuff is very Kadarius Toney-like. Best movement skills of anybody in this entire draft class, I think, in terms of making you miss, bouncing off people. I love his return, rushing, receiving, you know, trifecta package that he brings to an offense. But I think he's a much better and more refined route runner than people give him credit for. So I think he's going to be a real interesting steal for a team somewhere on day three. Malik Washington, another late riser in the process, explosive, you know, vertical slot guy, can do a lot. And then Jermaine Burton and Javon Baker, their talent screams early round two. Some other concerns with them might push them down the board a lot, but this is such a strong draft class that I couldn't even get them in my rankings until 18 or 19, but I both like their games. Very intrigued by both their skill sets. Jalen McMillan, another guy, really crafty route runner, you know, part of that trifecta of wide receivers at Washington. So Jalen McMillan, I think all of these guys I just talked about all weren't going in the first top 100 picks. I don't think we're going to get 20. I think we're going to get 16, maybe 17 at the most. But I think all of them have top 100, you know, talent and skill level. And then let's round out the rest. My next top 10. I mean, I have rankings all the way down to almost 40 at the wide receiver position. You know, you can check out the notebooks to get the rest of them. But 21, Brendan Rice out of USC. 22, Anthony Gould out of Oregon State. 23, Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. 24, Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. 25, Taj Washington out of USC. 26, Jamari Parrish out of Louisville. 27, Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. 28, Latrell Griffin out of Mississippi State. 29, Isaiah Williams out of Illinois. And 30, Bub Means out of Pittsburgh. Those guys in that group, Anthony Gould, you're talking about the speedster, the burner, guy who can get vertical. Brendan Rice, tough, physical, good route runner, gets off press well, very savvy, obviously son of Jerry Rice. Jacob Cowing, he's going to be like very Tank Dell-ish, but more, you know, very small guy, but explosive. I think people are going to be surprised that the NFL likes him as much as they do. I feel like people understand how great he was in college and how explosive, but I think the NFL is going to take a shot on him in round four. Johnny Wilson, really intriguing. I have him here for my wide receiver ranks, but I also have him in my top five tight end ranks, where I think some NFL teams are going to value him. But even as a wide receiver, I think he's an early day Prairie wide receiver prospect, especially if he can clean up some of his drops. Jamari Parash, I think, is a Darnell Mooney type prospect. Taj Washington, another explosive vertical slot player. A lot to like in this 21 to 30 tier. A lot of Trey Griffin, explosive, you know, vertical, you know, slot player as well. Luke McCaffrey, you know, great movement skills from Luke McCaffrey, good route runner. So much to like in this group here, you know, from 21 through 30, really strong wide receiver group. I mean, I have it all the way down to like 27 of guys that I think are around four or earlier worthy. That's 27 guys I think I have around four grade or higher on. That is an insane number of guys. They're not all going to go in the first four rounds. Some probably will fall to round five, but I think it just speaks volumes on how talented this class is for sure. And let's round it out with the tight end ranks for today. Number one in the tight end is Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Number two is Tavian Sanders out of Texas. Number three is Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. Number four is Dio Johnson out of Penn State. Number five is Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. Number six is Cade Stover out of Ohio State. Number seven is Jared Wiley out of TCU. Number eight is Eric All out of Iowa. Number nine is Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. Number 10 is Tip Raymond out of Illinois. Number 11 is Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. Number 12 is Dallin Holker out of Colorado State. Number 13 is A.J. Barner out of Michigan. Number 14 is Devin Culp out of Washington. And I'm going to stop at 15, McCollin Castles out of Tennessee. Obviously, we've talked a ton about Brock Bowers. He's the clear first-round, top 15-ish prospect in this draft class. The upside of a T.J. Hockenson, maybe even higher than Kyle Pitts. I think Kyle Pitts had more natural ability and upside coming out, but I think the floor is significantly higher for Brock Bowers, who's got a little bit more versatility to his game. After that, I think it's a big tier drop to the next group of guys. It's kind of all bunched together with Jatavion Sanders, Ben Sinnott, Theo Johnson, Johnny Wilson, Cade Stover, Jared Wiley. I think they're all guys that can go somewhere in round three to the early portion or mid portion of round four. I think Ben Sinnott's been one of my favorites in the process. Just since the summer started, since last summer, I liked him. All year I talked about him on the recap shows. Focal point of that K-State offense, very versatile, gives us all blocking, but also good route runner, picks up yards after the catch. A lot to like about Ben Sinnott. Jatavion Sanders, I keep saying he's a lot like Isaiah Likely. I think his play speed is significantly better than his time speed, and I think we're going to see that in the NFL. Dio Johnson, ceiling might be the second highest in this class after Brock Bowers. Great athletic tester, special athlete in terms of the history of athletic testing. Wasn't asked to be a huge part of that pass offense, but I think it's in his repertoire. So really intrigued by Dio Johnson. Johnny Wilson, if you listened to the last episode, David Syvertson talked about very much a Darren Waller clone. Remember, Darren Waller was a wide receiver in college at Georgia Tech that shifted over eventually to tight end. I think Johnny Wilson could be that style of player in terms of what he can offer. Not going to be much in terms of blocking, but if he's lined up, you know, and gets the mismatches that a lot of times tight ends get, Johnny Wilson could be a very effective weapon at the next level. Cade Stover, very just solid starting functional upside tight end. Maybe start as a depth or a backup tight end too, but I think could work his way in this to a solid starter. Same thing with Jared Wiley, a little bit more upside, you know, pass catching maybe than Cade Stover, but a lot to like there. Eric All, I mean, if he was fully healthy, you're talking about a guy who probably would be my number five tight end, just in terms of his upside, his ceiling case, a guy who could stretch and attack the seam. A lot to like about him. Tip Raymond tested out as a great athlete who's a great blocker. We'll see if the passing, you know, can come along, and that could be a surprise of him at the next level. I like taking a chance on guys like that. Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona, interesting pass-catching tight end as well. And then Jaheim Bell, again, I've compared him a lot to Chigakonkwo. Very versatile player. You know, I know fantasy points guys really are high on him. There's a lot to like about Jaheim Bell. If he gets with the right coach, right scheme that knows how to utilize and maximize the skill set, I think he could be very effective at the next level. So there it is, guys, my final quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end rankings for the 2024 NFL Draft. As I talked about at the top of the show, the Draft Projections Notebook is now live. You can get all three notebooks for $9.99. Get over to the website, SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there, and please consider purchasing it to significantly help us continue to do what we do here. So remember, a My Guys episode still to come before the 2024 NFL Draft. And my predicting the draft, how I think it's going to unfold. Round one, top 100. Talk about all the guys I think are going to come off the board in the first couple rounds of the NFL draft. Both of those podcasts will drop wherever you listen to podcasts and on the YouTube channel prior to the NFL draft as well. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us. And we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.